Welcome to the Sanctuary, a safe space to speak from the heart. I'm your host, Israel. My guest today is artist, ethnomusicologist, Professor Jingxia. Thanks for coming to the Sanctuary today. Oh, I forgot to add, ECMA nominee. Thanks for coming to the podcast today.
Thank you so much for being here. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Okay, let's start with, I guess, ECMA, because it just happened recently. It was great to actually finally meet you in person. How was the ECMAs for you?
It was great. You know, this time actually it was very special because I was there as a nominee, as a showcase player, and also as a board member. So everything just felt like so different.
Yeah, okay, so let's take each one by one. We'll go in the reverse order. So the board member, how did become a board member happen? And how was your showcase? And how did it feel to be nominated?
Yeah, for board member, I think it was just medicine there, and I applied and got interviewed, and everything just went smoothly. I just got it, and I feel like I wanted to join the board because it's very important to, especially for me, to have a say there as an Asian a player there. So I just feel like if there's a growing market or whatever, growing music scene of Asian community, so I wanted to kind of become the voice there. So that's the thought in my mind when I applied, then that I got it, and I feel like I'm very lucky. So that's my role as a board member.
And showcasing artists?
Yeah, showcasing artists. Actually, this is my second year being at the ECMA. I was there last year, and I won the Roots Traditional Recording of the Year. So this year I become a nominee as a band member with my band Shastri, and so very different. Although this time we didn't get any award because, I feel like it's expected because we only released three songs. But our album is coming out soon. So we actually, our biggest goal is to hopefully get something next year. So this year is going to be there just as a showcase artist and kind of just promote our music and let people know that we have our album coming out. So all the goals are achieved, I think. So it's great to be there.
So last year when you won as a solo artist?
Yeah, for my solo album, The Luminous Journey.
I remember listening to the album. What's that thing called? You told me the name. Guzheng? What's it called? Guzheng. Yeah. I love the sound it makes. Like, I'm really, really partial to strings. I can't play any instruments, but I just love the way strings sound. And I like the Guzheng makes really, really beautiful music. I remember we had this conversation and I was telling you one of Kung Fu Hustle, you know this movie? And it was used like a weapon anyway. It was a comedy, but I think so. You won for that album, The Luminous Journey. Let's talk a bit about that album. What was the process to make that album, and why did you feel the need to make it?
So it's a very interesting story, actually, because at first when I decided to record this album, I thought I need something for my PhD project. Because my PhD project is about study and also autobiography part, including my own experience as a musician here in North America. So at that time, I thought I need some concrete thing to support my project. So I decided to record this album. And this album first, I thought it was going to be kind of a presentation of my music journey in North America. So there are actually eight tracks, and each track represents a a music tracks, a music path that I'm hearing in North America. So each track is different. So they include the traditional piece, contemporary compositions, and improvisation, and also concerto. And so just a different music path I'm doing in North America. So that's my original thought. And I then when it came out, I got involved in music and now a lot of music activities. I applied for the award and surprisingly I won the award. I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. So yeah, and then so that's why my current focus is on music. I feel like this community has been so supportive and I really want to do something to kind of give back.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. I love the album. It's such has beautiful, beautiful, beautiful music. So I'm not kind of surprised I won. But let's talk about like your musical journey itself. Like, did you grow up playing music? Have you always wanted to play music? Where did the love for music come for you?
Yeah, I am actually I my bachelor degree was in music performance in China, and at that time I majored in music performance specifically on guzheng playing, so that's my current instrument. Also, I started to learn this instrument when I was 6 years old,
Wow.
so yeah, it's part of my life. I felt yes, you know. So it's kind of a natural way for me to continue my music journey here. I just felt like I was always good, kind of good at the school. So I continued my education. I studied master degree in arts administration because I had that. I wanted to know more about music industry, like how to promote my music and how to connect my music with audience and all that, and how to actually help other musicians. So I learned that, and then I wanted to come to Canada. Yeah, it's a long story anyway, but finally I came to Canada for this program. I studied my PhD, but I never gave up my music. So I always active in music scene, playing not band and in some music groups, and also teach music. I have my own music studio here in my apartment, and so yeah, it's an ongoing thing.
Apart from the guzheng, do you play any other instruments?
I learned piano. Of course, as a classic trained musician, I will have to learn piano, and also,
I didn't know that you have to.
yeah, I have to.
Holy
Well,
smokes.
although, yeah, I know, but at first I learned the guzheng and the piano, so at the same time,
Oh my
and
God.
but.
That's a lot of work. I can't even. No. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's actually okay. Because I was little, I was just it was really fun actually. So yeah, I play piano and I also play hulusi, which is like a gourd, like a flute, kind of thing. It's a Chinese instrument as well. Yes, basically that's the keyboard, of course, related to piano. So basically that's my skills.
Wow, that's cool. So you've been playing that instrument since you were six. What do you love about playing a guzheng?
Well, you know, it's a pentatonic instrument, which means it only has five notes in each octave. No matter how you play it, it just sounds beautiful. That's my first impression of that instrument. And my aunt is a guzheng teacher in my hometown still, and that she was actually my first guzheng teacher. So I just watched her performance and I just fell in love with that. And I just, you know, as a little child, I just wanted to be like her, like on stage and showcasing the beauty of the instrument and playing music for people. I just found that so cool. I wanted to do that. Yeah, so that's how I got involved in this music industry and I started to learn the instrument. I continued to do that.
Okay, so like you learn the instrument, you learn the key, piano, all these things. You could have just ended there, you know, follow your passion, do the thing. But you're like, no, I'm going to do the master's. And you could have just ended it there, but like, okay, cool, going to do the PhD. Like, was that always the goal, or was just like it was right there in front of you, you took it?
I guess my family education is kind of conservative. They always, like, my mom always wants me to be doing some and have a stable job and do it, and in the meantime have something, you know, you like it. So I always thought, actually, I agree with her. So growing up, I said that I wanted to be a professor at university, and also have the time to do music. So doing academic college is very natural for me to kind of pursue my dream. And then, so I finished it, and now I just felt like, well, yeah, that's the great status I am in. Now I can do some academic stuff, and like, in the meantime, doing some music. So this is perfect.
All right. So I was telling you earlier that I've been practicing that word, so I make sure I don't mess it up. But what is an ethnomusicologist, and what do they do?
So ethnomusicologists study music within the culture scene. So they choose music. We not only study music as like reading a score and how the melody flows, we also study all the people related to music. So including musicians, audience, and the agents, industry, all the industry administrators. So all the things related to music, we study them. And my dissertation was about the diasporic experience of Chinese instrumentalists in North America. So it's about their life, about musicians' life, and how they managed to situate themselves as a musician in a new land, you know, in a new country, as immigrants. Actually, that situation also is my situation, so that's why I was very interested in studying that part. So that's the ethnomusicology. For ethnomusicology, I think the most interesting part for doing that is that we do field work, which means we have to go to the field and interview people on set. So in 2019, I went to several cities in the States. I also went to Vancouver and Toronto just to interview people, interview all the musicians in my city, and observe their music activities there, and just participate in some of their music there as well. So it's very kind of collaborative way of doing research. I think that's the most interesting part of ethnomusicology.
Yeah, I'm partial to traveling, so any excuse to travel, I'll take it. but I'm curious, what are some of the questions you would ask them, and how would you decide what artists you'd interview for this project?
So my project is about again the diasporic experience of Chinese instrumentalists. So I did a lot of research of all this. Oh, by the way, I studied professional musicians, so I did all my research on all these professional musicians, Chinese musicians living in North America, and I try to contact them and get their permission to do an interview and all that. Just networking, you know. I feel like networking is very important part of this project as well.
And okay, so you did that. You create your album. And then you decide, okay, I'm going to form a band. Like, how did TR3 come about?
Yeah, the first time when we played together actually was the time, I think it was 2022. I was doing an artist residency at Wayawaya in Newfoundland. And at that time, during my residency, I wanted to create some new music. So a music form that is different from what we have here now. So I imagined these two guys to play with me, and we created the music together. And at the final concert, everyone just loved it so much, and I was going like, okay, we should continue doing this and then just make it a serious band. Yeah, that's basically how we started. Everything just, it is also like very random, but I feel like I need to do this because, you know, in the multicultural music contest, it's very natural for people to finally create some fusion music, some, you know, cross-cultural projects. So yeah, but that's basically how we started.
So what was this residency, and what was different about this music you created during this residency?
So I wanted to try some cross-cultural collaboration. I collaborated with these two guys. So we tried to arrange some Chinese tunes and to be a fusion music then so we can play. At that time, that's the idea. And also we tried to compose something together. So yeah, just to try to see how my instrument can work with guitar and the drums, you know. Yeah, just see how it works, and then now we have a Chinese tradition in with post rock elements.
Oh wow!
Yeah, just
and I guess the album. Do you have a title for the album? Do you have an idea when it might be coming out?
Yeah, we already finished all the recordings. Yeah, we kind of at the final stage of finishing it. Because now things are getting very complicated, because we're now senior level, and I also have worked with Mei Shenzhen manager as well. So things are very complicated now. So it just make the time become louder. But I hope to have it released soon. In fall, that's my goal.
Okay. And you said you have how many songs on the album?
Eight.
Yeah, you did mention that. Okay, so was it easy to pick the people that you were working on the album with? Was it just the three of you? Did you have other artists collaborate on any songs?
No, actually just three of us. So it's a purely our band music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's talk about like showcasing here at ECMS this year with your band. How did you prep for it, and how was the experience playing for that crowd?
Yeah, to be honest, it was quite a hustle because I just finished my tour in China and I came back a week before ECMS. So you know things how things can happen, right? So right after I arrived at St. John's, and we planned some rehearsals and to be prepared for ECMS, and surprisingly, like there was actually a gig coming up, so we even performed at a small gig there. Anyway, so during that whole week, we just try to kind of pick up our memories and try to rehearse together, then put everything together for ECMS. Well, I think it went actually very well. You know, sometimes, that's my experience, for a band, you need a break. You need a real, really big break for everybody just kind of get a fresh memory and start to rethink about music and start. Maybe you would come up with new ideas of how to play together. So I think that's what happened for us. During the ECMS, I just felt that showcase was really good, really a success for us, because we last year, like almost 2 months, never played together. Like, of course, before the rehearsals and all that, when I was in China, I just felt like things are getting more interesting now. Just have a new perspective for that kind of thing, you know. That worked really well.
Let's touch a bit on your tour in China. How was that? How was the experience? And how did you prep for it?
Yeah, that was really good actually. And you know what? That's my different music world, because that's kind of a classic music world. So I played with a clarinetist, named Michelle Moreau from the Netherlands. And yeah, we played, so we kind of organized several concerts in three different cities. So the concert is not only about solo playing and also our duo playing. And we even invited local Chinese instrumentalists to play with us, to play some fantastic compositions written by Chinese composers. So that was quite an experience, and it's good to kind of pick up my classic music practice.
I'm curious, like with the Guzheng, how do you transport it? Do you have to like break it apart and then build it, or it just travels as a piece?
I wish I could break it and just put it together and just think I can travel with it, you know. I was so jealous about these flute players and all that with small instruments. You can just put it in your bag and just travel with it. No, for my instruments, my current strategy is to borrow or rent it from a local musician.
Okay, so you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, in China, there would be no problem for me to find a guzheng. So it was quite easy for me to get a guzheng in each city during my tour. It's actually also a good chance to meet new people, you know, just because you have to borrow a guzheng, you have to rent a guzheng, you have to tour tight and meet new people in the same field.
So when you get it, is it like already tuned, or do you have to like set it up for yourself? Like, are they all the same? You know what I mean? Like, or do you have to do like special tunings for it to suit how you play the guzheng?
Yeah, actually it's tunable. So every time I get a new guzheng, I have to check its tuning and the tuning it. Truly, it's into the key that I have to use it for my release. So every just can be different in different key. And again, it's a pentatonic scale. So if you change keys, you have to tune it. It's no way you can like stay the same scale for all the pieces if you play in different keys.
Okay, so you know what? Like, all these music things kind of flying over my head, but I'm also kind of understanding it a little bit. But I have to ask, though, do you, like, with the guzheng, do you, like, also write those, you know, like, the little funny notes? Do you, like, read up, like, you know, what's it called? Like, do you read the music or kind of write the piece to play? Or do you just kind of play it off your head, off your, like, you know, without looking at the sheet? Sheet music, yes. Yeah. You have to play sheet music for your instruments, or do you just play without the sheet music?
Actually, I do both.
Oh.
So for classic music side, I do read like sheets, and I do read scores and the staff notation, and also number notation. Number notation is more common for guzheng players. I read the staff notation, number notation for all my classic pieces. And playing with the guys here, with my fusion band, actually, we do not write music. Everything is just there, and we just play together, and we never read from the sheet, and we never have something in front of us, like playing like that.
Wow.
So it's very interesting.
I mean, you don't have to choose one, but if you had to choose one, do you have a preference with one over the other, playing with sheep, playing without, you know, just vibing?
I don't know. It's hard to choose. Because very different kind of music words, right?
Mm.
I like to be serious on stage, you know, at the dress up and not playing seriously and play all this, you know, sophisticated compositions. But I also like to just have fun with the guys and just play some music and like just cheer up, that kind of feeling. So I don't want to choose. Don't make me choose, okay?
okay, you don't have to choose. So we know that the new album is coming out for GR3. Are you working on another solo project or?
It's hard to say, because I'm personally kind of invested in this band projects. But so my plan is to have another solo album in the coming years, because I already have some ideas in mind. I wanted to collaborate with different musicians. I met some fantastic musicians playing different instruments. So I really wanted to do an album kind of showcase the different music we can create with them. So yeah, that's the plan, and I hope to achieve tradition someday. But now, for now, I let me just focus on my band album and finish it soon.
Okay, 8 tracks. Do you have a title for the album with the band?
Not yet, actually.
Okay.
Do we have a I need to check actually, because I went to China for 2 months, and now I feel like everything I kind of keep up. I try to catch up with everything, and I think we talked about it before, but I'm not sure if I can remember if we already made a decision, but yeah.
Okay. I mean, you're Chinese, you're from China. Like, was there a particular reason why you decided to go to Newfoundland for school, or what was the decision behind that choice?
Yeah, it's a long story, but long story short, it was because of my supervisor, Alan Waterman. And I got to know her and her projects doing improvisation, especially intercultural improvisation stuff. I was just fascinated by her work. And then I got to know the project is academic ecology program in Newfoundland at Mao. And my supervisor, Alan Waterman, was actually the dean of school music at that time. So everything just, I don't know, just, you know, sometimes you say destiny, maybe that's it. I contacted her, and we had a really good email communication. Yeah, then I came. Actually, I've never been to Newfoundland before. Before I came, I just searched some pictures online, and I feel like this place is so beautiful, but I forgot to search the weather part, and I arrived in winter time, you know, and it was shock. But also I kind of enjoy it because I grew up in a warm place. It's very hot in summer, and we never actually saw like a fake snow before. So everything's new to me. So yeah, it was good. I still enjoy my life in Newfoundland, because it's kind of a different world to me.
Okay, so you made that journey right in winter, which holy smokes! But what are some things you love about living in Newfoundland?
Well, I like this peaceful life feeling. You know, and everybody is so friendly. I love the most is the music scene here. Because all the musicians so far, all the musicians I met, they're so open to new music possibilities. And I think because we live in the smaller place, so everybody just appreciates the opportunities to play and they collaborate with other people. So that's why every time I meet a new musician, and we just like to jam with each other and then just create something together. I really enjoy that part. And again, I grew up in a warm place, and with a lot of people, kind of a big city. So here is totally different. I feel like my life is very peaceful, and I can have a lot of self time. So it's not like every day you feel like you have to rush to something. Not many distractions. So I really enjoy.
Oh, one other thing, you are teaching. What do you love about teaching?
Teaching. I love the. So here's the thing. Actually, teaching as a way of growing together with students. So every time when you teach students something, like you know something from them as well, because as they may have different perspective and theories. Some students' questions are just amazing, you know. I mean, never think about that way, and just I love that part. I love to communicate with my students and have conversations, and you know, great discussions. I just love that part. I never treat it as a one way, like a direction, like I pass some knowledge to other people. No, it's never like that. It's always sharing and always growing together. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, it's always great to talk to you, and it was awesome seeing you in person finally. And I'm watching your band, I'm like, okay, well, I get the music. It's like, it's so different. It's unique. Yeah, it's like you guys just created something magical with your band, and I can't wait for the album to come out. But I want to let you go with this question, though. You found a way to take this thing you loved as a kid and then not just share it in your own, like doing classical or doing playing stuff with the band or just playing when you're making your own music, but you're also sharing that knowledge, right? So sharing that knowledge, just one more step. Someone is watching or listening to this episode. What kind of advice would you have to share when it comes to doing or creating music?
I guess for creating music, this is just always be curious. You know, we all have our education, and that's really good. That can be really good, and it can also kind of constrain your thoughts sometimes. So just be curious to see all the possibilities there. That's my current mindset. I hope I can always be humble and be curious and to explore the world. You know, the world is all there, but it is not, you don't see the whole, like a whole thing of it all. So you just always be curious to explore the difference and explore a different part of the world. So for doing music, the same thing. You know your instrument, but you don't know what is gonna happen when you play with others, and when you listen to a different music genre, what you can do with your instrument. So just always be curious and explore.
Wow. Jing, thank you so much for sharing. I can't wait to hear that album once it's out. And thank you so much for coming to the sanctuary today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah, this is so fun.